Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Judges chapter 17. Now the 13 verses in here, but it's one of the most interesting passages of Scripture when you consider one of the largest religions in the world today. Let's read the passage and then you'll understand why. The Bible says in Judges chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst and spakest of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver, and gave them to the founder who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." Now there are many, many things that are wrong in this passage of Scripture. And we want to analyze those as much as we possibly can in light of some things that we know today. Notice what he said. The young man became his priest. Okay? The young man became his priest. What we want to do is we want to look in this passage and notice some obvious, glaring problems that continue on from not only in this passage, but up until this day. And then we want to notice, if we can, the underlying reason for what's going on here. Because I think it's going to teach us a great deal and help us to understand a great deal about modern religious thought. I think the first thing we want to look at is this. The man said in Judges 17, verse 13, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. There is a connection between ordering a religious setting and receiving blessings from the Lord. In other words, to Micah, the addition of a priest who was a Levite to his house of gods, made his idolatry even better. And so he figured that the natural consequence to this idolatry is that God would bless him more. Now, what's behind this? Think through it. What's behind this is something very simple. And that is that the presence of these images and the presence of this priest were tokens of spirituality. They were like trinkets of good fortune. And there are a lot of people today who look at God as not the God that He is, creator, all-powerful, authoritative, judgmental, loving, kind, compassionate. But they look at God as like a giant benefactor of blessings. And that if they can satisfactorily approach unto this God, they will be blessed with those blessings that He has. And so God, because of that concept, is really one huge idol and not the God of the Bible at all. Recently we were witnessing to a young lady and she was talking about her spirituality, her religion, and in her life she has seen a pattern of favor with God. She had been through a tragic event. She had been through trial. She had been through changing circumstances. She had been through difficulties. And each time she was in one of those episodes, she prayed diligently to Mary. Now, if you know your Bible, praying to Mary has absolutely no power whatsoever. There are no instructions in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, even in the concordance and in the index and in the little piece of paper between the Testaments. There is no indication whatsoever that praying to Mary will bring you into greater favor with God and make you the recipient of His benefits and blessings. She was taught that in the tradition of a religion. And because she could see a consistent pattern of favorable blessings each time she prayed to Mary, she is at this point extremely convinced that the reason she was blessed is that she performed that religious exercise well and was brought into favor with God by Mary for doing so. And the whole thing is imaginary because we know that Mary, as blessed as she was to be the mother of Jesus Christ, is not an intercessor. Romans chapter 8 tells us the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. Romans chapter 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. But nowhere in the Bible is Mary our intercessor. But this tradition, these statues, these apparitions, Fatima, for instance, have a powerful hold in superstition over people who believe in these things. And when they see favorable responses to their petitions, they are the more convinced that God is blessing them because of what they're doing. That was what Micah was experiencing in Judges chapter 17, verse 13. Then said Micah, "Now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." In other words, I had the ephod, I had the teraphim, I had the house of gods, I even appointed or consecrated one of my sons to become my priest, but now I have a Levite to my priest. I know that the Lord will do me good. And do you see something? God's not in that at all. This is all imaginary. You say, why do you know that? Because of verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so when you're brought up in a religion and you are taught by that religion certain traditions, And then there are certain circumstances of those traditions that validate the teaching. And then you have certain experiences in your life to further validate the teaching or the tradition. You're going to believe that stuff, hook, line, and sinker, and you are going to really attribute every favorable thing that happens in your life to your statue or your medal or your rosary or whatever. Let me show you an example of this in Jeremiah chapter 44. Okay? In Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 17, we're in the middle of a context, but watch this. Okay, the prophet shows up, Jeremiah, and he's getting after them about burning incense to other gods. You see that in the context in verse 15. Verse 17. This is the response of the people. We will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. That's what Mary is called. I've got some missals and other prayer books and things that I collected from my days in the Catholic Church. And that's what she's called. She's called the Queen of Heaven. Okay? To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Watch it. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. Verse 18, Jeremiah 44, verse 18. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make our cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women and to all the people that had, which had given him the answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed? Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as it is this day. Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as it is this day. Do you see? In other words, when the people saw the famine come in, when the people saw that they were being consumed by the sword, they said, whoa, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is, we were blessed when we were burning incense and pouring out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven. We had plenty of victuals, we were well, and we saw no evil. As soon as we quit doing that, then all these problems started. No, they quit doing these things when the prophet came in and said, God's going to get you for this. God did get them for that, but then they associated the trouble with quitting their sacrifice to the Queen of Heaven rather than as a result of their sacrifice to the Queen of Heaven. Do you see that? That is the religious delusion imposed upon those who have been subverted by tradition or false religion with whatever prophet or whatever mechanism, or in this case, whatever gods and men that work with those gods you erect to go contrary to the Bible. Let me show you some things that are wrong with this priest. Number one, he's younger than Micah. The Bible says, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. That's Judges 17, verse 11. That man is younger than Micah. And yet when Micah hires him, in Judges chapter 17, verse 10, Micah said unto him, dwell with me and be unto me, watch it, a father and a priest. But he's talking to a man that's younger than him, who has no familial relationship with Micah whatsoever and cannot be his father. And yet that is the title that he gives to him. And the reason very simply is that it is a title that was picked up out of Egypt. Okay? Because in Egypt, they were doing the same thing. They were referring to the person in the capacity of a priest as a person who was a father, like a father figure. I know that sounds very strange to you, but But that's exactly what was going on. And so when you see that going on in religion today, it is simply a carryover from something that has been going on for not just centuries, but has been going on for millennia. Do you understand? We are talking about something that has been going on a long, long time. Now, the Lord God makes a very, very strong statement about calling a man in the ministry father. And He makes this statement in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He is identifying the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. And He says to His disciples, in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 23, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." Watch it. "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." You see, the problem is that the Pharisees loved greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But Jesus said to His disciples, don't let them call you rabbi, don't let them call you master, and whatever you do, do not let them call you father. We're not talking about papa. We're not talking about daddy. We're not talking about your biological father. The whole context here is men dressed up in robes, carrying on religious tradition, telling people how to observe religion, and being called by those adherents father. And the Lord Jesus Christ forbade it explicitly and said, "Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." You see, and that tradition is something that started even before Judges, but is definitely found here in Israel in Judges, and continues and carries on right on into the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are a lot of things that are wrong here. Number one, there's the wrong concept of God. He's just the extreme eternal benefactor to pour out blessings when you get it right with your images or your Mary or your priestly father or whatever. In this case, He had His images, He had His house of gods, and then He got His Levite for a priest. And He said, "Man, I know the Lord will do me good." Man, that's the concept of God that so many people have today. And that is not a biblical concept. That is the concept of a man who does what's right in his own eyes. That's what's in the context here. Whether it's one man that does it because it's right in his own eyes, or a whole religion of people who say this is right in their own eyes. Because they don't get that religious titling and that religious use of statues and that religious benefactor from God out of the Bible. That comes from their own estimation, their own tradition. So is the wrong concept of God, the wrong title for the priest. You see that in verse 10 there, Judges chapter 17? I'll tell you something else that was wrong. You got the wrong tribe. You see, this priest that Micah got was a man of Bethlehem, Judah, who was a Levite. You say, well, that's right. The Levites are the ones that served at the tabernacle. True enough. But only the descendants of Aaron were to be the priests. Only Aaron and his sons were the ones. Just read back there in the book of Exodus and read how that whole thing comes out. To Aaron was given the priesthood, and to his sons was given the priesthood. Everybody else that was a Levite served in the tabernacle, but they could not approach unto the Lord, and they could not go into the inner portion of that tabernacle. He says here, and just read Exodus chapter 28. I don't want to detour the time too much, but this stuff all goes to Aaron and his sons. Got the wrong tribe here. Completely. Got a real problem. I'm going to tell you something else. When you're a part of a religion today that has priests that intercede for you and are standing between you and God, where you've got to confess your sins to them and things like that, let me tell you something. Wrong tribe. They are Gentiles. They are not sons of Aaron, and they have no business operating in that capacity whatsoever. The Bible tells us unequivocally in 1 Peter chapter 2, that you are the royal priesthood when you're saved. And you are the one that offers spiritual sacrifices. And that you don't need somebody that is appointed by tradition in a church to stand in between you and God and be your priest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you see that? You are the holy priesthood. Ye, he says in verse 9, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The sacrifices aren't literal, verse 5 says, but spiritual. So this is a really bad situation going on here, but it's something established that carries on all the way for centuries up until even right now. Notice this priest is cared for with 10 shekels of silver by the year, a suit of apparel, and his victuals, the same way that the priests are cared for today. Major problem. I'll tell you, there's another problem here. The other problem that's here, and it's just gross, is the idolatry. You see here in verse 5 of Judges chapter 17, the man Micah had in house of gods and made an ephod. Well, that's the t-shirt, for lack of a better description, that is worn by the priest. And teraphim, you say, what's teraphim? Well, it's obvious that teraphim is a Hebrew transliteration. You say, what does that mean? A transliteration simply means that you're taking the word that is pronounced in another language and then giving letters to it that we use, like in our phonetic alphabet, so that it can be pronounced essentially the same in your language as it is in the language from which you are translating. For instance, in Spanish, the word for John is Juan. But we don't say Juan in English. However, if I wanted you to know that the person who said that in Spanish, and this is, you understand, a little simplified, that it had said Juan, I would spell it J-U-H-N or J-U-A-N. And if you weren't sure about the pronunciation, I could even spell it phonetically so that when you read it, it would come out Juan. Okay? That's basically what's going on with the transliteration. Teraphim is just simply the way you would pronounce the word if you could read it in Hebrew, but since you can't read it in Hebrew, we put it in English the way that it would sound, and then you basically say it the same way. If you go to Genesis chapter 31 and look at verse 19, which is the cross reference, then you're going to find the word images for this same word. Okay? Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. There is a marginal reference to the word images, and it says teraphim. Okay, so that's all they are. It's just images. In Judges chapter 17, verse 5, the man Micah had an house of gods and made an ephod and images, or teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So he's got these images in there. Well, you know what? He has a major, major problem because he has a graven image and he has a molten image. And these images are specifically identified in your Bible, and they are specifically forbidden. Look in Exodus chapter 20, when the law was given, and look at verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. There it is. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Going on with the rest of the verse. So he makes this graven image. It's wrong. Exodus 20 verse 4. But that's not all. He also makes a molten image. So turn to Leviticus chapter 19 and look at verse 4. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:4. So these are, everything in here went wrong when he took this young man and made him his priest. What went wrong here is that he ended up with the wrong concept of God. God's not the eternal benefactor pouring out blessings because you perform your religious duty better than the next guy. He gave the priest the wrong title and called him Father, which we know from Jesus Christ is strictly forbidden and is Egyptian in its origin. The priest he did consecrate was from the wrong tribe, which is the case with every priest that serves in any Orthodox or Catholic church today. And they went into idolatry, which is specifically and absolutely forbidden by the same Bible people use to prove that their doctrine is right. Listen, you cannot have it both ways. My suggestion to you is, after having looked at some of these things in Judges chapter 17, you better find out what God really said. And what he really said is that your priest, your God, is Jesus Christ. And you better receive him.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.